Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning to those who are here with us and also to you who are at home following along by electric device. We trust God will bless us all, no matter where we sit and how we listen. I came in this morning and the songs that we sung touched me a little bit. And only because of what's been going on in my life lately. You know the pastor again, he asked for prayers for the lost, the unsaved, and for America. And I have, for the past, I don't know, a year, maybe more, have been watching what's happening in our society with much fear, much trepidation. And you know, I've mentioned this before. I don't know if you were able to view this on any venue, but the atrocities that we're seeing, like what happened in the opening ceremonies for the Olympics, the abominations, they just seem to increase and to come on a regular basis. I mean, every day our eyes, our ears are inundated with this evil stuff. And we don't even know the half of what's going on. But this morning, these words touched me real good. And it was in the Come Holy Spirit song. In the latter years, the great revivals came when the saints would seek the Lord and pray. Oh, once again, we need that holy flame. I think it's no secret that we need to increase in our prayer life. We always have. We always will need to increase whatever we're doing in prayers. Because when we pray and when we seek God, we see things differently. We may see these things happening, but we also see that God is in control of all that is happening. People will do this, people will do that, and people will see things, but we will see things differently. We will see the glory of God in the things that are happening. It reminded me of a cute little story that I heard once. There was a little boy named Johnny, and he was coming home from school, a young boy, and his mother was working, so he would go to his grandmother's house every day after school. And this one day he came into the house and he was very sad. Had a sullen look on his face, and his grandmother recognized what, and she didn't say anything at first and thought maybe he'd pep up, but he didn't, he kept sad. And so finally she asked him, what's wrong? Oh, they were teasing me again today, Grandma. They were teasing you. Why? Because of my freckles. She said, oh, don't let that bother you. They're always going to do that, but don't let that bother you. Freckles are okay. He said, no, Grandma, they're always teasing me about it. I hate them. She said, no, Johnny, freckles are okay. So then she talked to him, and he started to feel a little better. Finally, she said to him, she said, Johnny, freckles are beautiful. I can't think of anything more beautiful than freckles. And she said, Johnny, can you think of anything more beautiful than freckles? And he looked up at his grandmother's face. He said, yes, Grandma, I can think of one thing. She said, what? He said, wrinkles. You see, you can see different things. When you see things, you see them differently. And when we pray and when we seek the Lord, he's going to make that happen. I want to talk to you for a brief few minutes this morning on the thought that Jesus will come. He will come. And we have to remember that, you know that little story of the footprints in the sand? And it says, I looked back and I saw only one set, and the thought in the story is that that's when I carried you. I think my life is a little bit different when I look back and I see one said, and Jesus will say, well, that's when I let you go. I was there, but that's when I let you go. I was there to help you. And I think that's the way it is. Jesus, ever living to make intercession, we're walking, we're doing, and he's ever there, and he will come at the time of need. Let's turn, if you will, into the book of Joshua. Well, let's pray first. Why don't we pray? I'm saying we need to pray, and I'm going to start without praying. How do you like that? Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for all things. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you've made him real in our lives. Now, Father, we ask your blessing upon this time as we open your word. Let your word touch our hearts this morning. Lord, let it be your word that moves us today. Lord, we ask your blessing on this time, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, to the book of Joshua and the fifth chapter. Now, I have a few places we'll go. I don't know how many we'll get to, but people who, in their time of need, Jesus came. Whatever the need was, Jesus came all throughout the book. So we're in the book of Joshua, and we're in the fifth chapter. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. Okay, let me turn over. Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, and we'll be reading at verse 13. And this is when they had just crossed over the river. They had just crossed over the Jordan. Now they're in the promised land. The preceding verse tells us that they began to eat and to take part in the promised land. The manna stops, and now they're fully invested in the promised land. They're beginning to eat off of the produce in the promised land. It says, now, it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? He said, no, rather, I indeed come now as the captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's hosts said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. The story brings us to the great walls of Jericho, a place where Joshua was familiar with. 40 years before, he had stood in this place looking at these walls. He and Caleb, understanding that they could take this place, as the promise of God, the other 10 not thinking so, and you know what resulted, 40 years in the desert. But we're here today, a place familiar to Joshua. And it says Joshua off by himself. Now, I imagine when I read that Joshua off by himself, he is off looking, walking around those walls, looking up, and as the leader of the people, he's thinking, what are we going to do? How are we going to do? Can we go in here? Can we go there? Shall we do this? Shall we do that? Thinking as the general, what he's going to do. Looking at the walls again. I believe praying, thinking. Alone, but never alone. You ever feel like that sometimes? You have this wall before you. You have this thing that needs to be done. You have all this stuff going on, and it seems like you're all alone, But you're really never alone. You're really never alone. The prophet Habakkuk, one day it says he lifted up his hands and he said, Lord, how long? How long do we have to wait? How long? And the word came back to him, though the vision tarry, you wait for it. It will come. God told Moses, I've heard their cry for 300, 400 years. I've heard. It seems like we're alone, but we're never alone. Jesus will come, and he will come when the need is there. 40 years before, it was God's direction for them to walk into the promised land and take Jericho. 40 years before, it was God's gift to his people, Jericho, and the promised land, and all the milk and honey and fruit. 40 years before, it was attainable, but they didn't take it. Are there times when we're looking for at the huge walls, at these things, and if we haven't been able to attain? Are there things you're waiting for in God? Are there people you're waiting for God to touch them? Are there things, maybe 40 years? It's God's gift. It was attainable, and it will be attainable. Jesus remains, and Jesus will come. In these days, I always have to remember, as I'm watching all of that going on, I always have to remember that Jesus remains and Jesus will come. He will be there as the need is present. Now, 40 years later, Joshua stands looking at the walls after the wilderness experience he didn't need, after all the suffering and all the loss, and after all the lessons that God taught his people. He stands again looking at these walls. God still has a plan. God still has direction. It's been 40 years because of unbelief, 40 years because of a lack of faith, that God's promise still remains to be taken, but God still has a plan for the walls before us today, for the walls before us tomorrow, whatever they may be. God has direction. God has a plan. And God has promised us that we will enter into his rest, that we will enter in where Jesus would have to be for our own spiritual development. He's alone, but not left alone. Joshua is not left alone. I love these words, and we see it throughout the Bible. And he lifted up his eyes. How many times have you read that in the Bible? And he lifted up his eyes and he saw. It happens so often. The thought of looking up, keeping up, it's so easy, especially in this day and age. Now, I keep talking about this day and age. I would suggest to you that people in the church in the 1940s, late 30s, 40s, with all the war that was going on, they considered that a rough day. I would say in the early 1900s, the First World War, they were. But these are my days. I don't know those days. These are my days. I can only see what I see before me, and I always have to remember. And it presses me. I always have to remember to look for Jesus, to find Jesus in the situation, to make sure that I am allowing him to enter in. He lifted up his eyes and looked. So often we see this in his word, lifting up the eyes, seeing God's working. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. The lifting up of Jesus. And we look and we lift for him. Joshua was in a place where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be there 40 years ago, and he's supposed to be there today. Again, at the walls, again facing the enemy. And look at what confidence he has. Look at the confidence we can have in Jesus. Look at the strength that he will put in our hearts. And when he lifted up his eyes, he sees a man standing opposite him with a drawn sword. What a scene. He's walking around, and he comes, and the enemy is there. He's in the enemy's land. He's looking at them, and he comes upon a man with a sword drawn. And I would suggest to you that since it's a theophany and it's Jesus, it was a powerful sight, the drawn sword. And look what he does. At Jericho, alone, Jesus comes to him, but look at the confidence, the surety we can have, because he was engaged in God's work. It says, and let me read it to you again. And behold, a man with a sword standing opposite him with the sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went to him. He just went to him. This man with a sword, who knows who it could have been? Could have been one of the royal guard of the town. But Joshua went to him. He had a confidence. He had a surety. He was doing God's work. He was where God wanted him to be, and he was going to be sure. He goes to the man. What a question he asks. What a question. Are you for us or for our adversaries? Interesting question, isn't it? Are you for us or for our adversaries? Well, if the answer came back, I'm for them, you get chopped off with a sword. But he had confidence. And folks, as we pray, as we trust, as we have faith, we can have a confidence and a surety that God is going to make a difference. I know there's stuff going on. Everybody has stuff going on. I know sometimes you have fears. You know how come I know that? Because hundreds and hundreds of times the word says, fear not. And the reason why it says fear not hundreds and hundreds of times is because God's people fear at times. Be anxious for nothing. Hundreds of times. I know we have anxieties. In today's society, we're not sure of what may happen with the forces that are gathering around us. Who knows what will happen? But we need not fear. We need not be anxious. And when we see the situation, we'll be able to approach it with a confidence and a surety. God, what is this for me? What is this for us? Well, the answer comes back. No, neither. Neither one. Rather, I indeed come now as the captain of the host of the Lord. It was Jesus in a theophany. And many times we see him come, the incarnate Christ. And here again he comes. He's there. He will come. The need is present. We're doing his work. We are his people. And we can be so assured that he is going to come. I'm thinking about the children that I see having come to this church, and what they are going to engage in things in this country that I never had to engage in when I was their age. Never. The things that they're going to see, the things they're going to be taught, the things that they're going to come into presence with. We pray for the children all the time. Tuesday night come, we're praying. Let's pray one for another. Let's make a deal here today. I'll pray for you. You pray for me that we'll see Jesus rise up. I've been I've been involved in a little lesson plan in the book of Revelation. It's always an interesting book to read and to look at. And you look at the things that are going to happen, the seven bowls, the seven this, the seven that, and the earthquakes that come, and the parasites that come. And then there comes to a point where the new heavens and the new earth come. You know, things happen, but God will carry them through. the society had turned so bad that God lamented having made man. But there was one, Noah. There was one. And though God destroyed everything, he made the way for Noah. He made a way. Didn't take him out, but took him right through, right on top of that storm, right on top of those waves. God will bring us through. Jesus will come, as he does right here and right now. No, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. Joshua now, his discernment is clear. He knows exactly who it is, and he falls on the ground prostrate before this captain. He fell on his face. He bowed down. And then he asks another question. And the question is simply, what has my Lord to say to his servant? We do that, don't we? Something happens, something comes, and we're bowing down before the Lord, right? We're praying, God, make a difference, and we should. And it seems to get, and God, I'm before, what can I do? What would you have me do? What can I do? And the eye lifts up. What must I do? What must I do? There's a wall before me. There's an enemy before me. I have to take this down. What do you tell me to do? He doesn't tell him to do anything, does he? He simply says to him, the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. What do you want me to do? What are you going to say to me? What's the plan here? And the plan comes back, remove your shoes. Because the place where you are standing right now is holy ground. It was just dirt before a wall in Canaan. That's all it was. But because Jesus was there, it was holy ground. Because Jesus was there. The ground they were standing on was holy. And what he was telling him, the relationship that we have is holy. Because I am the captain of the host. The work before them was holy because Jesus came. I think as I was reading this, I came to the thought that I would be much better off if I stopped trying to gain instructions or look at lesson plans and read books on how to do this and how to do that, on how to pray, on how, and if I would just recognize that my success will come in my relationship with him. And I stand on holy ground. And I need to not get a pen and a paper and figure this out, but I need to take my shoes off and submit to the holy God who saved my soul and watch him as he will crumble those walls, as he will begin to do that very work. The Lord's response, remove your shoes, submit, for I am here. We will do well to remember that Jesus is the King of Kings, that Jesus is the Lord of Lords, that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He knows all things, and all things are his. In Colossians, we are told, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. A few years back, and I saw this in a documentary, the scientists were trying to study the atom. Now, in an atom, there are three elements that circle each other. They go real fast. Well, there's one in the middle, and then two, and they circle. Protons, neutrons, and electrons. But they never burst apart. They keep right there. And they couldn't figure out why. So you know what they did? They said, well, there must be something else there that we can't see, and they called it gluons. Protons, electrons, neutrons, and they called it gluons because they didn't know what it was. Why do these elements go so fast around and they never fly apart? Well, we just learned it. It's because in Jesus, all things consist and are held together. In all things. In the 1930s, there was a study that came out that proved that in an ant farm, it was the female ants who did all the work. They did all the work. The male ants protected the queen ant. That's what it was. The female ants are doing all the work. In the book of Proverbs, it says to the lazy one, consider the ant. Look at the ant and consider her ways. Not its ways, but her ways. They discovered this in the 1930s, when God knew it back in the book of Proverbs. God knows. He sees. He knows tomorrow. He knows what's happening here. He knows what's happening here. He knows what's going on. We need to take our shoes off. Submit to him, worship him, and he's going to bring about, the walls are going to fall down. The needs are going to be met. That which his church needs will be found. Jesus lived and he taught. He died and he was resurrected. Then he ascended into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and now ever lives to make intercession. Always the captain of the Lord's host. Every day, through sunshine, through storm, Jesus is still the captain of the Lord of hosts. At every wall, at every challenge, at every victory, at every time, he remains ever living to make intercession. Looking at what our needs are, may his name be praised. Joshua, again, standing at those, what's going to happen? And God brilliantly, just made it all work. We wait on God. We'll wait on God. And we're going to watch the magnificence of his work in our life. We're going to see a lot of stuff. And I've told you this before. I have to be real careful not to become fatalistic with all that I see going on, with what I see in the hospital, with some things I see with my friends, some things I see in my family. I have to be careful not to get put down. I have to remember, no, Jesus has all things in control, and I need to put my faith in him. May his name be praised. Blessed be his name. We were singing, I got two little messages during the worship session today. The first one I showed you, we sang that chorus, Lord, I praise you because of who you are, not because of the things you've done. That's taking off your shoes in his presence. I'm worshiping you for who you are, simply that. Not for what you've done or you're going to do for me, because I know that my best is in your heart. And he's going to make that work in our lives, in our families, in our friends, in all those fears and anxieties that come along. Lord, I praise you because of who you are and not because of the things that you have done. May his name be praised. And may we And may we as a people find more fulfillment in the presence of God, in who he is and who he will be for us. There was another man. His name was Gideon. And Gideon lived in a time when Israel and Judah had been conquered. They had been conquered. And the conquering people were stealing everything from them. They would come in and they would take everything. All their food, all their stuff, they would just take it. And there was nothing could be done. The people's hearts had melted. They had no resistance. The enemy would come and just come into your house and take everything of yours. And now you got to start all over again. And this would happen continually. And it says in the chapter, well, it's chapter 6 of Judges, that Gideon was at the wine press and he was threshing the wheat so that it wouldn't be seen by the hordes that were going to come in. He was going to try and hide it. People of God hiding from the enemy. We need to be winning in front of the enemy. And Jesus will come and Jesus will make that happen. We will win. We will defeat the enemies, wherever they may be. Chapter 6, verse 11, the angel of the Lord, again, another theophany where Jesus comes. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the yoke that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, Gideon's father. And his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Mighty man, another version would say. Mighty man, a valiant warrior. God comes into this situation. This young man has been beaten down. The nation has been beaten down. He's hiding in the wine press, trying to save a few pieces of wheat for his family. Oh, valiant warrior. You know, I took this and I'm thinking, I'll say it. I never doubt that Jesus loves me. I never doubt that God loves me. It's all over the Word. All over. I'll never doubt that. But sometimes I wonder if he likes me. Really, sometimes I wonder, I have those days just like you have them. And sometimes I wonder, I know he loves me, but does he like me? Well, he comes, Almighty. See, we can't look at ourselves or others with these eyes, but we have to use them. We have to use what Paul describes as the eyes of the heart as we're looking. The eyes of the heart. Now, the heart has no eyes. It's just a pump. That's all. It doesn't have eyes. But we have interior eyes. We have spiritual eyes. And we can't look at ourselves because God doesn't look at the exterior. He doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside, who we are. And we have to begin to remember that in these down times, in these times when we need him, we need to remember he's looking at us as his people, his children. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. We're his children. He sees us differently than we see ourselves. The thought came, maybe sometimes he doesn't like me, but I know he loves me. And I know my best is in his control. Verse 14, the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you. What a wonderful thought that is, that we can incorporate into our life. We wake up in the morning, we go out into the world, and we've been sent by Jesus. We've been sent by God with His blessing and with His need. In verse 23, the Lord said to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Now, Gideon, you shall not die. Don't fear. Again, right? Peace be. Don't fear. This is one of the hundreds of times when it says don't fear. Gideon saying, all right, let's go. What are we going to do here? We got an army of 100,000 we got to defeat. What are we going to do? And God says, assemble the people. Assemble to bring them down to the river, have them take a drink, and all of those who drink this way, you keep. The rest send home. Half of them went home. Could you imagine? You're Gideon. This is your army. You're going up against 100,000 people, and God just sent half of your army home. He says, bring the rest back. He says, bring them down here. Let them do this, and those who do it this way, keep. The others, send them home. Gideon ends up with 300 men to go and fight against 100,000. It's a wall. It's a wall that he's in front of. And God takes care of the walls. God's people coming out of Egypt that Joshua was leading, they were no army. They had no resources. Their weapons were minimal. They didn't have battering rams and things to knock down walls. But they had Jesus, the captain of the host. There's walls, there's stuff, there's thoughts. That we hear it here daily as a pastor. I said, but pray for this one. They were at the doctor and they came back this way. Trust Jesus. He breaks down the walls. He brings us over the seas. Blessed be His name. 300. And you know the story, how wonderful it is as they get the candles and they put them in the jars and they get up on the hill. And at one moment, they all break them together. You can consider the brightness that came. And they all shout. And the army runs away, and God gives them a victory. God gives victories. God makes it happen. Blessed be His name. I have a couple more. Can I just quickly just review them? Jacob is coming home. He'd been at Laban's village for 20 years. He had gained all kinds. He's got wives, he's got cows, he's got camels, and he's on his way back. And you know what's on his mind? He's a rich man. You know what's on his mind? Oh no, my brother's going to kill me. When I get back there, Esau's coming and he's going to kill me. And he's worried. He breaks it up. He sends some over this way so they can go up. And half of his families, they go up there. So if Esau comes, they'll take one and not the other. And he's fearing. He's worried. Esau's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. But then it says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh is dislocated while he wrestled with him. Jacob is coming. He's going home. He's fearful and he's worried. Jesus comes. I'm thrilled with these thoughts that I had over this. Jesus comes. He doesn't stay away. He comes. And you notice in each one of these things, they were alone. Joshua was alone looking over those walls. Gideon was alone threshing in the wine press. Jacob is alone But we're never alone. It may seem like we're alone. It may seem like, what? We are never alone. The captain of the Lord of hosts is always with us. Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, and he ever lives to make intercession. He knows. Everything is held together in him. All of the troubles, all of the glories, held together in him. I learned something, and I was very surprised. I must have read this scripture. Who knows how many times I heard this in a message in a Sunday school. It says, I always thought that Jacob was out there trying to reach God and trying to wrestle with God. Notice what it says. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. The man came and wrestled with Jacob. God never leaves us alone. No one will ever take us out of his hands. Jacob was in fear. Jacob was not the kind of guy you want to get involved with, really. I mean, he'll sneak things out of you. He'll snake stuff away from you. He stole the blessing. He stole a lot of stuff from Laban, and he's coming home now. But God loves him. God is there for him, and God comes and God wrestles with him and does a great work in him. Now, as I'm reading this, I'm saying, oh my, is God looking at me that way? Is God going to come and wrestle with me, and I'm going to end up with a hip out of joint or something else? Well, if it need be, may God be praised, for I want what God would have for me. And of course, you know, as this goes on, that Esau comes, falls down, loves his brother, and it all works out well. God working here, God working there. What are you thinking about today? What's the wall? What's the situation? What's the circumstance? God is working here, and God is working over there. God is making a change over there so that when we get there, it'll go easy. How much? Elijah gets the news that Jezebel will kill him. The message was, if you're alive tomorrow, I failed in my duty as the queen. It says in fear, he runs into the wilderness. And he's all alone. Again, all alone. We're never all alone. We may seem like we're all alone, but we're never alone. Jesus is there. And he's alone. And what a picture as he lifts up his hands and says, take my life. Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father. Just take my life. Put it at an end to me. And it says he laid down and went to sleep. Well, you know what happens. The angel comes. Jesus will come. He will come. He will come. He will come. Even in our despair, just take my life, Lord. The angel comes. He's sleeping. Taps him on the shoulder. Says, get up, eat and drink. The journey is long. So he gets up. He eats. He drinks. Goes right back to sleep. The classic symptoms of a man who's depressed. Classic symptoms. Just no motivation. Just, again, comes and taps him on the shoulder. Wake up, wash your face, drink and eat, for the journey is too great for you. A couple chapters prior was the time when he was on Mount Carmel, and he stood in the face of the 500 priests and brought down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. What disparity. Life brings that. It may seem like you're all alone, but you're not. Jesus will come. continue our faith in him. One more and then I'll close. Those three young boys were in that oven, heated seven times more. And when the king looked in, he saw Jesus. They thought they were alone. We're never alone. Doesn't matter if it's a wall, if it's an oven, if it's despair, if it's somebody trying to kill us. Doesn't matter what it is. A son who's lost. A parent who needs salvation. And we're watching and we're looking and it's not working. Jesus will come. We will continue our faith in him. We'll put our faith in him. They learned it through their relationship with him. We will learn it through our relationship with him also. When I said before, I'm stopping looking at lesson plans and I didn't mean I was going to stop continually, but I'm not trusting in that anymore. I'm not trusting in those how-to-do books, how to do this, how to pray, how to do this. I want my experience now to be taking off my shoes, submitting myself to him, because I'm in a holy relationship with him. It's holy ground what God has given to us. May his name be praised, and may the Lord keep us and make us whole and make us better each and every day. We'll pray one for another. God will make a difference. Let's bow for just a word of prayer as we go, thinking on his word. We've read many passages. It's his word that makes the difference in us. If there were any comments that were helpful, that's fine, but it was his word that makes the difference. Let's think about his word. Father, how thankful we are, how grateful we are. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy, Lord. We're thankful and we're grateful. Father, I pray for these who are here in the church, for those who are home and listening. Pray for this church. Lord, we need to see you come. Jesus, come. Come in a great way, Lord. Lord, make a difference in our lives and in the lives of this church and in the lives of this community, our loved ones, in this nation, Lord. Pastor's always asking us to pray. We do pray, Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in my life as it is in heaven. Lord, we're thankful for your word this day. Bless it to our hearts. Enlighten us, we pray, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.